From the towering Wasatch Mountains of the American Southwest, we welcome you to this episode of Undiscovered Utah. This show focuses on the mysteries that surround the rugged, difficult, and sometimes deadly American Southwest. I'm your host, JB, and tonight we're going to share with you the story of an old railroad town that is hanging on by its teeth not to become a ghost town. People have called this area home for the last 10,000 years or so. So it would be a real shame if it became a ghost town now. But in modern times, a freeway was put in that stopped many visitors from going through this small town. And then the railroad decided to move its stop to a little bigger town about 30 miles to the west. At last count, there were 104 people living in this small town, and that's a large increase from the 2010 census that listed it at 39 people living there. Okay, do you know what town this is? Do you have any guesses? Here's a few more hints. It's very close to a major freeway in Utah. It has a well-known but less visited historical landmark. The town is only 3.19 square miles total. It sits at an elevation of 5,246 feet above sea level. The town began its life in 1883. The Union Pacific Railroad runs right through the town still to this day. But like I said, trains no longer stop here, as they did for almost 100 years. Okay, it's time for you to take your guess. What say ye? What little town in Utah am I talking about? Do you know? Well, the name of this small town is Thompson Springs. It is located about 30 miles east of Green River, Utah. In the early 1880s, the Denver and Rio Grande Western Railroad was building a major rail line to Utah's coal country. As the track was being laid, many railroad camps popped up along the way. Some turned into a little more than just camps, however, and grew to become proper little towns like Cisco, Sagers, and, of course, Thompson Springs. The town was named after E.W. Thompson. Mr. Thompson operated a sawmill in the area and land next to a natural spring. Soon, other people joined Mr. Thompson, mainly farmers, cattlemen, and sheep herders. An ambitious man by the name of Harry Ballard had a vision for the little area called Thompson Springs, and soon started to buy up all the land around the spring. It wasn't long until a saloon was built, a hotel, some stores, and many homes. Because of the already established community at Thompson Springs, it was an easy choice for the Denver and Rio Grande Railroad to make this a stop along the way. Of course, that was fantastic news for the citizens of Thompson Springs. In 1890, the town established a post office and called it Thompson, and the word Springs was dropped from the official name of the town. However, most people still called it Thompson Springs. The town was about to get some more good news. Remember Mr. Harry Ballard? Well, he had a big ranch north of Thompson, and one day, while exploring a canyon near his ranch, he discovered a very large vein of coal. Being a savvy businessman, he was able to accomplish what most people are not capable of. He kept his mouth shut and didn't tell a soul. Instead, he just kept buying more and more land. This didn't really concern anyone, as he had already had a large ranch and the land he was buying was located quite far away from the spring, like about 5 miles away. Once Mr. Ballard had acquired the land, he staked a claim and started a small mining operation. In 1911, Mr. Ballard sold his mine to some investors in Salt Lake City for a very nice profit. And soon, a small mining town was established 5 miles away from Thompson, or Thompson Springs. The town was called Sago. Well, Mr. Ballard wasn't a man to rest on his laurels, so after making some nice money in the sale of his mine, he decided it was time to get in the railroad business. He quickly started to build a rail line from Thompson Springs to Sago. Look, the town of Sago was about 5 miles away. How much of an expert do you need to be? Plus, the ground was relatively flat. He just needed to be the one to get it done. Like I said, this was great news for Thompson Springs. Everything coming and going from Sago had to come through Thompson Springs. Oh, and did I mention that Mr. Ballard owned quite a few of the businesses in Thompson Springs? Now, Thompson Springs wasn't a boomtown, but it was doing just fine. It had 2 hotels now, still the saloon, a few more stores, a restaurant, and a bunch of more homes. The mine at Sago contained high-grade anthracite coal, which was in high demand. But poor management at the mine and the lack of water in the area was taking its toll on the mine and the town of Sago. The railroad built by Mr. Ballard suspended its operations in 1949. This didn't help the struggling mine. Then in 1955, the railroads across the nation started switching from coal-powered steam engines to the more powerful diesel engines. This greatly reduced the demand for coal, and prices dropped like a, well, rock. The mine locked its doors, and it didn't take long for the town of Sago to become a ghost town. Thompson Springs residents maybe didn't realize just how important the mine and the town of Sago was to their own survival. Because as quickly as ghosts became the only residents at Sago, the ghosts also started to take over Thompson Springs. But a small group of hardy residents fought against those ghosts and kept the town alive. Then in 1960, construction began on a new freeway that would be called I-70 or Interstate 70. Even though Thompson Springs was listed as an exit, exit 187, that really didn't help the town survive, as you think it might. And here's why. The problem is a place called the San Rafael Swell. Why is the San Rafael Swell a problem for Thompson Springs? After all, it's 100 miles away. And that's true. However, it is not the proximity that is the problem. It is the size of the swell. You see, when I-70 was constructed, there were no existing roads or railroad through the swell. The interstate had to be created from scratch. So, at exit 56 in Salina, Utah, you could get fuel. Then the next exit where you could get fuel was exit 160 in Green River. Now, something you need to understand. In Utah, freeway exits are based on miles. So Salina is 56 miles from the start of I-70, and Green River is 160 miles from the start of I-70. And for that fact, Thompson Springs is 187 miles from the start of I-70. That's what the number on the exit signs mean on all Utah freeways. Now, this is not the case in every state. Many states, the exits are sequential. Exit 1, exit 2, exit 3. But in Utah, they're based on the miles from where the freeway started in Utah. So if you're headed eastbound between Salina and Green River, it's 104 miles with no fuel options. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm going to stop in Green River after traveling 104 miles. I'm not going to ride all the way to Thompson Springs to get fuel or anything else for that matter. And the same is true traveling westbound. You're going to stop in Green River before you cross the expanse of the San Rafael Swell. So the interstate was another deadly blow to Thompson Springs. At least the town still had the passenger train stopping in town. And that brought quite a bit of needed commerce to the little town. Trains like the Scenic Limited, the Prospector, the Exposition Flyer, the Rio Grande Zephyr, and, of course, the California Zephyr, all stopped in Thompson Springs. The year after I-70, in Utah anyway, was dedicated, Amtrak, the National Railroad Passenger Corporation, took over nearly all passenger train service in the entire United States. Amtrak and the Denver and Rio Grande continued service for many trains, including the Pioneer, Desert Wind, and the California Zephyr, until 1994. Today, the California Zephyr no longer stops in Thompson Springs, but it continues down the track to Green River, Utah. As a matter of fact, no trains stop in Thompson Springs anymore. The once busy train station has since been torn down. There was one hotel in town last time I drove through, but I believe it was for sale. It included a small campground and was called the Desert Moon Hotel. But like I said, that was a few years ago. So, is there any reason today to go to Thompson Springs? Boy, howdy, is there. Remember the town of Sago? Well, there were a few old foundations to explore and some old mine equipment, but that is the side attraction to one of the best attractions in the entire state of Utah. Chances are you have seen photos of this attraction, but never knew where it was. You maybe even have heard its name, but never knew where to look for it. For the few that have visited, chances are they will never forget it. The attraction is called the Thompson's Wash Rock Art District, but it is better known as Sago Canyon. Just do a quick search on the internet for Sago, S-E-G-O, Canyon, Utah, and look at the images. Holy cow, this place is stunning. And at the first of this episode, I mentioned that people have lived here for around 10,000 years. And here is the evidence. From the Archaic period to the Anasazi to the Fremont and to the more recent Ute tribes, all of them have left their mark in this canyon. What Did they know about this area that has been lost to time? Amazingly, these petroglyphs and pictographs have been largely undisturbed, even though there have been ranching operations in the area and mining operations in the area for about the last 150 years. If anything, it's helped to protect this incredible site. Today, it's become more well known because of the internet. And that's a good thing because it is an awesome place to visit. Just don't let it get vandalized. Now, one good thing about this location, there are cameras everywhere, both hidden and visible, in the area to help protect these sacred sites. So smile while you visit because you're on camera. And take your own photos. Do not touch the rock art. Don't mark it, don't scratch it, and don't shoot it. Or do any other stupid things to hurt these ancient writings. Just enjoy them. And guess what they may be trying to tell us. After all, it might be very important. Oh, and be sure to stop in Thompson Springs and drop a dollar or two, or 20, at a shop to help fight off those ghosts still fighting to take over Thompson Springs. Well, that's it for tonight's episode. I hope you have enjoyed this episode. Remember to be safe and respectful while visiting these amazing areas of the Great Southwest and have fun exploring. You can find us on the internet at undiscoveredutah.com or on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Just search for Undiscovered Utah. And be sure to follow us. Also, we would love it if you'd tell your friends about Undiscovered Utah. We want them to join this podcast also. Just tell them to search for Undiscovered Utah wherever they listen to podcasts. We are working to improve our website as it leaves a lot to be desired. So keep visiting and we will add more and more content. Please join us next time as I share more about the Great Southwest. Good night, everybody.